attacked by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Katie Nordgren.
And I'm Chris Jeppa, and with us today is the lovely animator, artist, other credits, Polish gal. It's Anya. Hello.
Hello,
hi.
Anya. Hello, welcome.
I didn't actually ask you about how you wanted to be introduced before we started, but here we are.
Tough shit. Because that's what
I
you
can
get.
Take it.
That's what you get. You're tough. You come from the Eastern Europe. You're tough. You can handle all of this.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
You grow big and strong there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can take it. We can take it.
They grow under the ground and they must be yanked out with great force. My sweet little turnip can attest to.
That's just like, when I went to Poland for the first time, like I'd heard that Rzepa means turnip.
Yeah.
Right? And then when I actually went to Poland and I introduced myself to people, they would laugh in my face, which was fun. And then I heard, like, stories about, like, oh yeah, well, there's a legend in, like, small villages that the Rzepa, like, lived underground and was extremely stubborn, but it needed the whole village to, like, one person couldn't pull it out.
Oh,
everyone
the poem
needed to
about the whole family coming in. And,
there's
like,
a
everyone,
poem?
Like, yeah, there's a poem about the turnip that, like, everyone comes in, you know, like, the grandpa, the daughter, the granddaughter, mom, then, you know, the dog and a cat and the bird and just, like, everyone is, like, pulling and, like, even, like, a little frog. I actually played, I think, in primary school or kindergarten, I played a frog. pulling out the ship.
Sorry. This is that big of a legend that you were in a school play about it?
It wasn't like a play. It was like a small performance for, you know, like parents. It wasn't like a huge
production. An unimportant distinction. Just the fact that
but
this
it's just,
story.
It's just like a cute poem for kids. And yeah, like at the end, like everyone falls over because it was so huge. But then, you know, like you can eat it of a piece of bread and just, like, you know, being
okay,
good,
so
everyone
is
happy.
Is that like being in Canada and writing a poem about the biggest canoe or something like that? I'm just really curious what the equivalent would be
I thought that, like, the moral of the story was that teamwork
gets the big turnip out.
Yeah, like, that everyone was able to pull it out.
Yeah, together.
And then they ate the turnip.
Yeah. So
the turnip was consumed.
I'm a huge fan of turnips, so I'll be careful.
You know, you might get
don't get too close. I bite.
We ate some delicious turnips before we even started recording today, because that would have been very crunchy on the microphone.
Yes, my friend Piotr Makowski.
Could he be Polish?
He's very Polish. He's the one that I went to Poland with and helped, like, translate things for me. Until a weekend, I was able to, like, order food by myself and stuff at places, which was very
cool. Yes, one Rzepa, please. One single turnip.
I knew I could order pierogies and I could answer follow-up questions.
No, please don't
do
it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's pierogies already plur, so yeah. Saying pierogies is like henses, porketses, you know, like, it sounds, like, so silly. Because
oh, no.
One is
pierogi.
One is pierog, many is pierogi.
Pierogi, okay.
Yeah.
Ah, so when
get
I,
out of your own house.
When I put the S on, it's just so terrible. I'm so
yeah.
Sorry. Oh.
I mean, it's cute, but you know, a
it's
little
cute
bit.
How dumb you are. It's cute how you don't know how the language works.
It's fine. I just, you know, I guess people were humoring me a little bit, but I was able to, like, answer follow up questions like, would you like them boiled or fried? You know?
Fried, motherfucker!
Yeah, fried.
Yeah, fried.
I like them boiled and then a little bit fried.
That's exactly the thing.
Yeah,
that's how
that's,
I make
that's
them.
The
I parboil them and then I just toss them a little bit in some butter and onions, and that's how I like it. And I'm not even Polish. I'm Swedish, motherfuckers.
And then drown that in sour cream.
Yes.
Like, the more sour cream,
straight
the better.
Up. Yeah.
That's the only way to do it.
This is just taking me back to a meal I had that was actually Russian and not Polish, so I should probably throw myself out right now. But I had dumplings in Seattle at this place called the, I think it was just called, like, the Dumpling Czar or something like that. And it was just these little Russian dumplings floating in apple cider vinegar with, like, a little dollop of sour cream and some dill. They were so freaking good. It was the best meal I had on that trip. Mm. So good. I love dumplings. I don't know if you guys know. Potatoes and wheat. Mwah. Pretty good.
I can relate. Though, I have to say, since I came here, it's been pretty hard to get, like, legit pierogi I
sent. Oh, God, I bet.
A husband of my boss actually went to Poland, and I, like, spammed her with messages about, like, places to go to eat, like, a good, legit pierogi, and apparently, like, her husband never wants to leave Poland and just, like, cries over, like, that this is, like, experience that he never knew, like, he loved pierogi in Canada, but, like,
it's a different thing altogether.
Another level,
it's
yeah.
It's just a whole nother level.
That's true, and, like, especially, like, for me. Like, homemade grandma's pierogi is just...
I want a Polish grandma so bad, you guys. I want one really bad.
Sad about it when I was in Poland, because I met my Polish grandma when I was two, and then she died.
Because you had a very old dad.
Yeah, I had a very, very old dad, and she was also then much older than him, I guess.
Well, like, that is how time works, generally.
And so I only met her once, my babcia, and we apparently played tea party when I was two, and I was speaking to her in Polish, and it was like, oh, you were... fluent in Polish, Christina.
For a two-year-old.
I know, as much as a two-year-old can be like, pass the tea, please, or whatever. But it would have been very cool to, like, go visit her and, like, have her cook me food.
But she would have been 110 by then, probably. Yeah. And, I mean, Polish people are very stubborn, but I don't know if they live that long, typically, but they might.
Yeah. I think my great-grandma hit 110, and, like, her recipe for, like, long life is just every day a shot of vodka and you're good.
I've heard that from every old Polish granny that I've ever met. It's just like, have a bite of kielbasa, have a... Oh, I don't know why she got an Italian accent, but I am very bad at accents.
Oh, no.
I'm very bad at them.
Oh, no.
But yeah, just have a bite of kielbasa, have a shot of vodka, you're good to go.
Troszeczkę wódeczki, troszeczkę może śledzika do wódeczki, ogóreczek I proszę.
I don't know what you just said, but I would follow you to the ends of the earth. Let me just tell you.
I feel I have a superpower.
Whatever you just said, yes. I'm 100% on board for it. That was fantastic.
Did you say have a shot of vodka?
Yeah, have a shot of vodka. Have, like, a little bit of, like, the smoked fish and, like, the cucumber, like, the pickle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, polished pickles are, like, so much better.
I love pickles.
Awesome combo. Oh, yeah.
Sounds fantastic. I really should go. I want to do, like, a little bit of a sort of this, like, Central Europe visiting. Like, I want to go to Poland. I'd like to go to the Czech Republic and all that kind of food. Just sounds like it's so good. It's like fried dough and meat and like cabbage.
But, like, again, I've said this before on this podcast. We're talking about, like, ancestral eating, which is, like, a weird concept, but it's like, oh, go back to, like, your roots. All these people that have been, you know, so many generations removed from wherever they came from, but, like, eat what your great-great-grandparents ate. And your body and your genes will respond or whatever.
Yeah,
and,
like, evolved on that shit, so it makes sense.
Yeah. So my dad literally came from Poland, like, directly. And when I went there, I was eating steak tartare, pierogi, and vodka. And I never felt healthier. And żurek, like the soup.
I love żurek.
Sourdough soup.
Yeah, and it's often served, like, in a giant, like, piece of bread.
I, like,
with, like, eggs and everything.
Back by that. So far, I'm on board.
Yeah, and
eggs?
In the sourdough bowl, like, bread bowl.
Okay,
and it's,
I'm
like,
listening.
Creamy soup, and then, like, a half a hard-boiled egg and lots of big sausage pieces in it.
And potatoes.
It's so good.
Well, see, my background is Swedish, so it's not that far removed in terms of the type of food. Yeah. I think we're more like, we like rye bread, smoked fish, hard-boiled eggs, and, like, sausages and things. Like,
pretty good.
Smoked salmon is a big thing. Like, smoked salmon, like, basically things that, like, Jewish people eat, probably pretty similar, being a Nordic person. Like, the smoked salmon lox, I guess, all that kind of stuff.
Really
kind
delicious,
good
hearty,
rye,
like,
and, like, capers and stuff like that. I'm super into that.
I didn't realize
salty
that we'd
shit.
Be talking about food so much immediately, but, like, those are how, like, you experience, like, sense memories of things, right?
Oh, yeah, food is the big... Oh, I miss Polish bread. Like, here, to get, like, good bread, you have to pay so much money, and in Poland, just, like, you go to, like, a corner store, you can get, like, a legit sourdough that just, like, you can taste how sour it is, and it's, like, legit
shit. Oh, I want the sourest sourdough.
Yes.
I should pick up, like, we have a friend who bakes a lot and recently has been given a very unfortunate food requirements list that they can no longer have bread. They can't have gluten anymore, so I'm like, maybe I should adopt her sourdough starter and, like, just start baking crazy amounts of bread.
Oh, just carry on the legacy.
Because I love sourdough bread so much.
Yes, the only way to go.
And I can't find it anywhere sour enough for my liking. I want it to be so sour that it's, like, not approving of my lifestyle choices. I want it to be angry about the fact that I'm queer. That's how sour I want my bread to be.
I need my bread to match my personality.
Yeah, and I want to, like, I want to smear it with something really, really delightful. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm super into. And so... There is a Ukrainian food place in my neighborhood called, I think it's just called like a Ukrainian deli or something like that. They sell like borscht, they sell pierogi, they sell that kind of stuff, right? But every time I think like, that's not really what I want when I want a snack. I don't want like a bowl of borscht or anything. So, I don't really like a cabbage roll, but fucking sourdough bread can get it any day of the week. Is what I'm saying.
There was a place in Kitsilano for a while when I lived there called the Transylvanian Bakery.
Is it gone?
I don't know if
because it was there way after you moved.
Yeah. I think it's gone.
Boo.
But I loved it because I'm
right across from the eatery. If I'm
obsessed
not mistaken.
With vampires. I was obsessed with the restaurant that I was right across from, and I lived right down the street. And they only sold bread and water.
Perfect.
They sold the most beautifully baked sourdough and rye bread, and then they had the big bottles of like mineral water from Romania, and it was just like delicious.
That, like, sounds like every single, like, summer vacation in Polish mountains when you, like, go, like, climb and, you know, you're dying because it's, like, super hot and everything. And then once you, like, climb at the top, there's, like, always this, like, little whatever.
Like cafe a weird or something. Bakery.
Yeah, and they have, like, this, like, legit old school Polish bread and there are all the, like, springs of, like, really cold water. And you're just, like, that's all. I could literally just, I love Polish mountains.
Oh,
there's
I
literally
go there.
And they're so fucking magical because, okay.
Please tell
me. Okay.
Poland is, like, so witchy as fuck.
Tell us about Poland's
amazing.
Witchiness.
Because it's much more, like, a part of, like, I think maybe some people don't recognize it, but, like, I feel like there are much more, like, casual witchy practices in their life, just because, like, you know, like, all of the grandmas basically act as, like stereotypical witches.
I'm so pumped right now.
And that's, like, my goal in life, to, like, become, like, that
you
in my
be
community.
You want to be, like, a Strega or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, in the wood.
They're called Shiptuhi.
I'm thinking Italian. Strega is Italian.
Okay.
And it's, like, I'm going to read your fortune. You know, but it's that. Sorry, what was the word again?
Shiptuha.
Shiptuha.
Which means whisperer.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's just, like, basically because... Again,
they speak
like,
the future to you, basically.
But, like, overall, like, in even though, yeah, like, all Europe is very, like, patriarchal and all of that bullshit and, you know, Catholicism and crap, but there's still, because, like, of the pagan roots, like, the whole, like, cult of the matter and, like, the crone is still really huge in Poland.
Oh my god, you're speaking
so
our language really
you
hard right
now. Like, you know that, like, my mom has a saying, like, that my grandma repeated to me, my, like, grand-grandma, that man is the head of the house, but the woman is the neck that turns the head around. So, like, that's basically, you know that the most important person in the family is the oldest woman.
It's the grandma.
And I just love that because, like, there's so much wisdom there, and it just...
It's so true. Let men think they're in charge. That's what you have to do, because they want it, but they don't ever have it, ultimately. Yeah. Like, it's always the granny who knows what's up.
Yeah, and she'll steer you in the right direction.
But
yeah.
She's 80 years old. She's got all of that experience and knows how to be like, no, you're full of bullshit. Let's go in this direction. And that person will never know that they've been manipulated.
Yeah.
Right? Like, granny knows what's up.
And
what
I really
saying.
Appreciate, like, the ability. I feel like that's kind of how I like to carry my own, like, social power as well. Like, I don't need people to recognize that I have, like, social power because I know that I have it. As long as I'm, like, get what I want and, you know, like, can use my power for, like, whatever good and all of that. Like, I don't care if other people recognize that I can do it.
No, you just have it anyway.
If they want to, like, if it's more comfortable for them to think that they have social power over me or whatever, I'll let them think that. Let them enjoy whatever fantasy that I have about the reality.
Oh my God, yes.
I'm just gonna do my thing, and
yes.
It's gonna be all good.
100%.
Yeah. I'm also 100%. A Slytherin, so that's pretty...
This is another thing.
Absolutely. like 80% of the people that I go, like, over are Slytherin. For... You are, because I'm an aggressive Hufflepuff. So I'm, like, very tender, and so, like, I serve Slytherins everywhere I go. I'm, like, because Chris is both. She's a Slytherin Hufflepuff rising. everybody hates us right now for saying that, but it's true. She's got the both of them put together, and I'm just pure. I'm, like, a little bit Ravenclaw, but mostly just tender, hearted, gonna steal snacks for you from the house elves.
I love that. And, like, the Slytherin was, like, a hint of Ravenclaw, because I'm a fucking nerd, but,
yeah.
I mean, who isn't?
Who isn't? To be honest. My wife is 100% Ravenclaw. She's, like, aggressively so. You are both. You're, like, both the Slytherin and the Hufflepuff mm-hmm. combined, which is such a weird combination, but it works on you.
I digged it. Yeah.
And if you're a Slytherin, that's great, because like, Slytherin, Hufflepuff, and a Hufflepuff, like, that's a good conversation group right there.
Yeah.
Anybody who's a dork just really enjoyed it. People who aren't are, like, furious. And that's, like, what, 3 of the 6 people who listen?
Unsubscribe if you don't like it.
Suck my butt if you don't like it.
AKA, could you please subscribe to our podcast?
Please, fave and rate and subscribe and,
okay,
yeah. So I really want to go to Poland now is basically what you got for me. Because I watched that one episode of Chef's Table that was set in Slovenia, not Serbia. Slovenia, which is where Melania Trump comes from, apparently. And it looked so beautiful to
it
me.
Is. Just like the clearest blue rivers that they were catching trout out of. The valley with the mountains. And like I saw photos from my friend who went hiking with his boyfriend as well. Now fiancé. They went hiking up in the Polish mountains. Yeah, and they're like, we didn't realize that we crossed over into a whole other country because we were right on the border. Because
nobody cares. It's fine.
That's definitely like a thing that I miss. I mean, like, how easy it is to travel back in Europe and mm-hmm. how much I always stress whenever I cross Canadian border because it's
scary.
Always so. And this one time I was actually crossing the border to get my work permit. I was doing the like flag pulling, whatever. That's like the fastest way to do mm-hmm. it. But I was crossing the border with my uncle and they kept us there forever because, like, there is, like, a young, feminine Eastern European person with an older, slash middle-aged man.
So they're definitely, you're a purchased wife, basically, is what's happening.
It was really, really uncomfortable, and, I mean...
That was your uncle.
Yeah, that's I mean, granduncle.
Granduncle. Your
great brother of my grandpa, yeah.
Yikes. So they thought that you were a mail order bride, basically, or something to that effect, or like somebody who's being prostituted.
Something was going on.
What a gross
assumption.
I'm so sorry. That's
just like, I don't know. And over, like, it's like the whole topic, and you know, like the over sexualization of Eastern Europeans, mm-hmm. and you know, like the whole issue of like how much of it is, like, especially like in Europe, like mm-hmm. Eastern European women are like the most probable victims of like sex trafficking and all of that, and just like gets really creepy when it's like North American stereotypes, you know, use those like really mm-hmm. really fucked up parts of reality and universalize
and apply
it
to
and,
you even though it's not your life.
Again, and also, just, I don't know,
I've definitely seen you, like, post articles and write about that, where it's, like, it's so frustrating that there is this, like, super hyper-sexualized stereotype of Eastern European women. It's so frustrating and so awful. Like,
I mean...
This idea that you all want to come to America or something to, like, sleep
with
some
the American dream, so we, like...
Trailer park.
Like, come here and, like, you know, like, the North American men can, like, give their, like, sausage on the plate and that's under the table, like... You know, doing the other work. But No, I'm right? not interested in their kielbasas.
No, you wouldn't be. No.
No.
No me gusta, thank you.
That's a whole different language.
Yes, it is. That's Spanish. That means I don't want it. Oh boy, yeah, that fucking sucks. Like, and the poor Eastern European person. I am very white and a North American, you see. But like the fact that that is still a personhood that is so reduced to a stereotype in not just in North America but in Britain.
Issue. Overall, I feel like very often in North America, I hear people. Talk about, and okay, maybe I do the same thing while talking about North America, not specifically Canada,
okay.
I'm like, US,
that's fine.
But like,
I give you
there
feeling.
Are a lot of issues that come up because people tend to say Europe instead of specifying Western, Eastern Europe.
Yeah, big difference, right?
There is a huge, like, power dynamic that's very complicated in Europe. And I understand, you know, like, if you don't live there, you don't really, it doesn't apply to you, like, so you don't really care.
Your grandma versus Angela Merkel, you prefer very different levels of power, right?
Yeah, and it gets a little bit, I get a little bit heated up whenever people start to talk about, like, Europe, especially with me in the conversation, as if they have the authority of on the subject. And I sit there and it's like, you've never ever, like, left, like, you, maybe you went to Whistler or something. That's, like, the farthest you went from Vancouver.
All you met were Australians, motherfucker. You didn't meet a single Eastern European person.
Yeah, so.
Maybe she turned down your bed, but she probably found out all your disgusting secrets while you were at it, so get that attitude out of here.
No, God.
Straight up. Come on. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like... We just all got all fired up at the same time.
Yeah, I just want to kick everybody. Yeah.
I like it.
But, I mean, at least, you know, we have that going for us, that we are giant badasses, and we don't let, you know, people kick us around, so it just ends up with, you know, we're gonna show them anyway. Like, I had so many, like, random dudes just, like, you know, like, oh, so you're Polish, so how much for a night? And I just ended up, like, kicking their ass, and...
Who would say that to you? How much for a night? I'll kill them with my hands.
It was honestly a thing that first...
I'll kill them with my hands. I'm not up for that. That's not okay.
Honestly, you know, and just, like, again, like, the whole... I mean, it's like, that anyway, like, you know, like, men think that they have, like... their
magical penises.
Yeah, and they can, like, you know, have access to any, like, feminine body
and
anyway.
For their amusement.
But, yeah, there's, like, another layer when it's, like, also, like, the whatever fantasy of the Eastern European, that, like, all of the Eastern Europeans are, like, you know, dirty, so you can get whatever you want from them and all of that crap. And just, like... Yeah.
Wow, that was really,
I know.
And, like...
Chorus.
You know, like, I have to say, like, whenever I go back to Poland, like, we're, like, Polish ladies, there is, like, I don't even, the last time I went to Poland, my neck was hurting because I was looking around so much.
Because of all the beautiful women?
But, like, you can, like, look, don't touch, don't speak. Just, like, appreciate from afar.
They are good looking.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
We can be real about that. They is good looking ladies.
Yeah.
I'm looking at two Polish ladies right now. Pretty good.
I feel like I don't even qualify, though. I sort of, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you're at least half very Polish. Yeah. I don't know what your mom's deal is, but she's cute, too.
Yeah.
So we'll call it that.
Yeah.
But, like, double cute.
It was fun to go to Poland, and yeah, the same thing where I was just like, everyone's really cute, and, like, I also feel this, like, weird familiarity that I'd never felt.
Maybe you're
going
a cousin.
Anywhere. It was interesting. Like, the first time that I went to any place in Europe, like, and again, as the whole whatever, I went to Holland, so my mom's part Dutch, and so I felt a little bit of, like, oh, I feel like my cousin who I met there, when I was hanging out with her, she was in her 60s. This was 10 years
barely
ago.
Barely a cousin.
She was, but, like, a pretty, I guess, a second cousin.
Mm-hmm.
She teaches Tai Chi in San Francisco a lot. She's, like, a super fucking awesome lady, and I hope she's still alive. I haven't heard from her.
Oh, yikes. Whoops.
Yikes, I should email her.
I'm writing, let's hope cousin's alive.
But so, like, in Holland, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I sort of feel, like, a little bit whatever. And then in Scotland, I was like, yeah, I guess I feel like there's something. And then as soon as I went to Poland, I was like, oh, my God.
I'm home.
This is exactly, like, and like I was saying, like, anytime you write in Polish on Facebook, like, it lights up a part of my brain. When I hear people speaking Polish, it lights up. Sometimes it's not the best place in my brain because my dad was a pretty bad dude and would yell at people drunk in Polish, like, on the phone. So, like, that's a bit of, a trigger thing. But, like, going to Poland itself really helped me, like, overcome a lot of that because it was like, oh, I hear lots of people speaking the language in a ton of different ways, and it's families and it's kids and it's grandmas, and, like, it felt really soothing to, like, it's rounded out the sharp edges in my brain that, like, used to poke me really hard, and now they're, like, it's part of it.
You were able
integrated.
To recontextualize some of the
things. If you ever want to hang out and talk Polish, I'm always into it. I miss it so much. I mean, because, again, going back to, like, a giant nerd and all of that crap, like, I love literature, and I also, like, was growing up being a giant nerd, you know, like, I have no friends, such all of my friends are books, and all of that crap, so, like, you know, I love...
You're literally love... Belle from Beauty and the Beast. And
pretty much, in the I love...
There goes the baker with his tray, like always.
So, because of that, you know, like, the love of language and writing and all of that, and, like, also Olga Tokarczuk, one of my favorite... writers is, like, related to me to, like, a certain extent, so really good writer, really good stuff.
Some
check
kind
it
of
out.
Distant cousin. What was the name again?
Olga Tokarczuk.
Okay.
And
I got the Olga part.
T-O-K-A-R-C-Z-U-K.
UK. Well, part of that.
Works, yeah.
It's fine, I'll figure it
but,
out.
But one of the books I really like is Anna Ine and the Toms of the World. Mm-hmm. It's like a really cool take on like the Ishtar myth. Just, I really love it.
Which is a movie that was made that nobody liked. Ishtar. It's gone. Nobody liked it. but I like to read the book.
Yeah, it's great. Also, I feel like I'm like, just because, you know, like the nerd part, like, my
yes,
brain is
tangent.
Jumping from, like, all of the possible topics,
tangent
going
forever.
Back to
perfect
what I was saying,
for a Friday
because
podcast.
I'm a nerd, I love languages, mm-hmm. so, especially now that I, like, came here and my brain functions in English, like, 90% of the time, because mm-hmm. it's just easier than switching back and forth to just be like, okay, let's submit to the whatever, yeah, and...
Submit to the dominant paradigm,
yeah,
as we all must.
Which, you yes. know, like, irritates me to a certain extent because, like, back in Poland, like, there is the whole, like, myth of, like, you know, like, the whole, like, Anglocentrism, like, English superiority, all of this bullshit, like, it's, mm-hmm. like, still, like, pushes through, like, to, like, kind of drown the Polish culture because, mm-hmm. the, you know, like, you go to theaters and, like, majority of the movies is gonna be the whatever North American movies and all of that crap. So,
with
like, there's
or maybe not even. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So, there is, like, a part of me that really resists that because, like, I grew up feeling like, oh, like, whatever is Polish is, like, less cool or whatever. And now, living here, I'm like, no, it's so much better back home. Not to insult anyone
I
here.
I take no umbrage to this whatsoever.
But, yeah, so... just
everywhere I've gone, I like better than Vancouver.
But, like, we're reading, like, Polish poetry that I really love right now. It's just so beautiful. Like, the language and, like, the subtleties. And, I mean, there are a lot of things that I really appreciate in English. And, of course, I'm sure that there are, you know, things that, as not a native speaker, that I just don't get. And there's probably much more nuance to English that it seems in my head. But, like... Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's so many, like, words that I can't quite translate to English that are so beautiful and perfect in Polish, and reading that in poetry is just, like, spiritual experience.
So beautiful. That's so lovely.
My heart just exploded in my chest a little bit.
I'm so interested in how works function in translation, because obviously it can never be exactly the same. Just, like, they look at works in transition, right? Like, in translation, rather, and try to see, like, what's being lost, what's being gained in the translation. And inevitably, both things are happening. Things are being added to the poems or the works, and things are being taken away in the translation. Because no translation's ever going to be flawless.
Yeah.
Because the experience of it in the original language versus the experience in the translated language is going to be so different. But I've been trying to read more translated works and get more out of them, but I realize, like, fuck, I gotta learn languages. They're hard! Yeah.
But the thing is, what coming back to, like, whole, like, you know, you can never experience, like, the same, which at the same time I also, like, it, like, kind of, like, gives me a tingle because I'm like, oh, the unique experience and, like, the fact that I can't, like, nobody's experience is the
same. I can't
tell
you what this is like.
It's kind of, like, exhilarating as well.
Let me tell you that, yeah,
but,
totally.
But also just because I love, again, like, I love the comparing translations, everything, especially when it's, like, a really good, like, I don't know, Wisława Szymborska is a really good Polish poet. Like, she would also write her own poems in English as well as in Polish.
Oh, really?
So I would, like, trust those translations more because they really
so
know what they mean.
So she writes her own poems in English in addition to writing poems in Polish.
But what I notice is, like, the part that kind of hurts is, like, when there aren't, like, idioms that get the same meaning, but more when they're poems that rely also of sound creating the feeling, because, like, words, there are a lot of words that, you know, there's this wonderful poem in Polish that talks about rain, and I can't remember it, but it uses all of those words that are like, they're just like really,
they've got a real,
they have a lot of like
onomatopoeia.
Yeah, onomatopoeia all over the place, and then just like, you can translate
it. We don't
and,
have an English.
And there will be, you know, like, it still will be the same poem, but the experience of it will be, like, the loss of the sound, the same probably, like, they're, for sure.
Mm-hmm. A Polish person reading the poem in Polish is going to have a different experience than an English person reading the poem in English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I just,
there's
I'm picturing
there's no way to reconcile
it.
That. There isn't.
I'm picturing that in my head where
beautiful.
It's like, you just, you're hearing a
it
poem
is.
About the rain and it's just all you hear is shh.
Yeah, because we have
so
a lot of,
a
like, sh sounds in Polish. my favorite tongue twister, that's, like, my favorite thing to, like, whenever I have a party or I'm at the party to get everyone, like, good and drunk and then try
well,
to
I'm
get
halfway
them...
there, so.
Try to get them to say the Polish tongue twister is my favorite.
Okay.
Szebrzeszy niech wciąż brzmi w szyni, szebrzeszy z tego słynie, niech wciąż brzmi w
szyni. Not gonna happen. It's gone. It's already... I've lost it.
But it's so funny when
what
people try
to
say it. In the city Szebrzeszyn, there is this little bug that makes sounds, noises in the grass, and the city is famous for the bug that makes noises in the grass.
Okay. Okay, so it's basically like cicadas or something. Like
yeah,
that.
Something.
It's a poem about cicadas.
Can you
or
say it? Can you say it like directly into the microphone?
Say it into the microphone for us.
Fast or slow? I can slow it down.
Slow it down just a tit.
Just slow it down a tiny bit.
Okay. W Szczebrzeszu niech chrząszcz brzmi w trzcinie i Szczebrzeszyn tego słynie, że chrząszcz brzmi w trzcinie.
So ooh. Everyone just got ASMR from that.
That gave me a bit of a vibe. It felt really nice. Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, and it's also because of, like, it's again, like, talks about, like, the experience of the, experiencing the poem, but also through the sound, because, like, the sound that the bug makes in the grass, like, shh, it's like, it gives you the feeling of, like, the grass and the wind and, like, the whatever.
It's not translatable.
It was really good.
Kind of in some ways. I loved it. I thought it was great. I hope other people really liked it, too. I suspect they probably did. But that's really wonderful, and I think about that a lot, and I wish that I had a better, facility for languages. I'm quite poor at them, honestly. Mm. I'd love to learn something like Polish or Czech or something. Mm-hmm. I had a very good friend from my early 20s who was Czech, who she's from Karlovy Vary in the Czech Republic, and she would speak Czech to her mom all the time, and I'd be mm-hmm. like, that's really cool. But for the most part, most of the people I grew up with spoke English. So, and that's, like, very limiting, mm-hmm. I think. And that's unfortunate. Yeah. Like, we definitely didn't have anyone who could speak Polish at my elementary school, I don't
yeah.
think.
Yeah. Actually, like, fun thing, from all of the languages with Latin alphabet, Polish is considered the hardest one. Because we change the form of every single word depending mm-hmm. on where it is in the sentence, whatever.
But it is a
that.
Latinate language, then, so it does come
so
from it. So it should
so
be easier to learn than something that, say, like, in Cyrillic.
But,
like in
yes,
Russian
definitely.
Even to read Polish fucked me up so bad.
Because a couple... How many consonants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many consonants. So I would, when I went to Poland, I was like, oh, I kind of know some general stuff. Not really. And then I would see signs and my brain would just freak out. And then when I would hear someone pronounce it, I'm like, oh, I know what that word is. But I couldn't read it. I'd never read Polish. Like, there was this really ridiculous, like, in the train station in Warsaw, the sandwich place,
mm-hmm.
right? And they had all the different sandwiches, and they had all the things, and there was the Mexicanska? Yeah, Mexicanska sandwich, and I'm like, oh, it's the, like, the Mexican sandwich with the corn and the whatever, but, like, reading it, I was like, what is that mixy something? Like, there was Y's, and there were so many Z's, and there was a lot of K's.
You guys love Zeds.
But then as soon as I heard my friend pronounce it, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what that is. Because then it sounds a lot more like, and it has this beautiful musical rhythm like Italian does when people speak it, that I'm like, I understand that when I hear it, but I can't read it. It really freaked me out.
So do you, when did you immigrate to Canada?
I came here 6 years ago. I started with like a half of the year of English, like at English Language Institute, UBC,
sure.
and then I found my animation school, so that's...
Right, so did you know English before you came? Like,
You must have. Yeah, you grew up, like, that's, you know, like, English is, like, the one that you start with, like, every single kid at school. Then,
even as that as a second language.
Yeah, then everyone chooses the third language, which, like, in the past it was, like, Russian, German, but we don't do it anymore because that's really fucked up in, like, history.
Yeah.
I love that crap.
No more Russian.
My third language was French. I used to be good at it. I don't remember anything.
Oh, no, Anya, you don't speak French good. Get out of here, you dum-dum. Because it is an official language of this country. I'm very bad at it. So you're probably better at French than I am. It should be a second language for me. It is not. I can understand when it's spoken to me, but if I try to speak back, they're like, no. I speak English to you, you dumb.
Straight up, you're terrible.
But I feel like that's also like a different approach. Like, I feel like French are very, very proud of their language, and it's very much like if you don't say it right, it's a little like, oh, they're gonna like look at you. But that's
a wonderful... You put 8 vowels in that word, Katie, so fuck
you. But that's a wonderful thing about Polish people, because there's no easy way for a foreigner to make Polish people love them if they come to Poland and try to pronounce anything in Polish.
Like, oh, thank you!
And the more you fuck it up, the more we're like entertained and you're we love so you, and lovely. You're like, you're so adorable.
Here's a slice
cute.
Of bread right in your face. You're so enormous.
Because foreigners very
you can't
often
handle yourself at all.
Speak like when they try to pronounce Polish, they speak a little bit like as if they're children. So it's just
they
like
are
so
children.
Cute.
I know they're Anya. They're children.
Well, like,
we're
yeah,
all
so,
children
because it's so rudimentary. You're just like dziękuję bardzo.
Oh my god, my heart. My heart.
This is what did you just ask for?
Oh, I
no, just like, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I thought
you're
it was
welcome.
Like, please give me a kiss right now, right here.
Prosha is like, please.
Prosha.
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 I'm not doing it right. I'm trying
almost,
my best.
Almost. Almost.
And like, I only know little kid words like, matechki. Is that underwear?
Panties?
Panties? Matechki?
Yeah.
Maitechki.
Maitechki.
Yeah. But that's like...
That's my underoos.
But like, that's like, you'll refer to like kids' underwear.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So like, I only was a
What's
tiny
a grown-up's underwear?
Either bilizna.
Bilizna?
Bilizna.
Bilizna.
Or like casually, you could say maiski, but...
Maiski. Is that like how we say gaunch or something? We have a lot of slang words for things. But like, it's gotta be so hard.
But yeah, like, I feel like a little kid, you know, trying to speak another language, because all you know is the rudimentary language, and then it's just like, oh, you're so cute, you're trying so hard.
But that's the difference, I guess, between going to, say, like, Poland and to Paris or something like that, because if you try to speak the language in Poland, people will be like, oh, you're so cute. And Paris, people
you have
will be
some
like,
vodka, it's all good.
But... like, you try so hard, I love you. And then and Paris is like, fuck you. Fuck you.
They're kind of pretending to not understand you.
I don't know. They just throw a French fry at your head.
I mean, okay, let's be honest, it depends where, like, the south of France, people are so lovely and everything. But
oh, yeah.
If you go to, like, Paris, it's very much... I mean, they're also probably just really sick of tourists
I'm
because,
sure.
like...
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure
I don't want to listen to your butchered, terrible...
yeah.
thing. It's maybe, like...
I'm like, Quebecois French is what I understand for them. I'll be like, ah, oh, I dropped my thing. Tabernacle! And they'll be like, what?
How dare you?
Key? I was not right. Oh, key is God. When. No, I'm very bad at French. Like, that's understood at this point. Like, Madame Third hates me very much. That was my 11th grade French teacher.
When
she thinks I'm terrible.
When I went to Holland and I tried to speak Dutch and order off the menu, they were just like, no, 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 no.
Like, trust me, we speak English.
Yeah, they're like, please don't. It sounds horrible coming out of your face. He said it nicely at first. He was like, oh, you're too pretty to speak Dutch.
That's true, though. That's true, though.
Because you're just like... just choking up everything when you speak
That's
Dutch.
The nicest way you can say, please stop butchering
but then,
my language.
But, then I was like, but I was like, no, I want to try. He's like, please don't.
So, I've mentioned this in the podcast before, but you don't know this, and my wife's sister lives in Haarlem in the Netherlands. She's a violist, so, mm-hmm. but her Dutch is perfect. Like, she's a pretty flawless Dutch speaker. I mean, she's obviously Canadian, so it's not flawless, but pretty good at the same time.
She's
so
gonna write us about
she,
that.
That's fine. Katya, eat my butt. She spoke for us the entire time we were there. It was so embarrassing. And we ended up having to go to a cafe in, like, the Moroccan quarter. So the English was not as good there. And so we walked into this cafe, but they did speak French. So we were fine. Because we knew enough rudimentary French to get by. And then Tessa, my wife, she went to a another time she went to Nice in France after when I wasn't with her, and she's like, oh, Canadian high school French will get you through no problem. Like, it all comes back to you there. And it turns out that it actually comes in pretty quickly if people are like, oh, I'm so impressed that you're trying.
That you you'll just have a nice best. Person. Like,
ah, bonjour, je m'appelle Tessa. je voudrais croissant. Or something like that.
It's definitely, you can order
food. Combien en coup de croissant. I'm very bad at languages. How much does a croissant cost?
The first sentence ever I learned in French, because that France was the first, like, country outside of Poland I ever visited, because my dad is a lawyer, and that, like, he would often, like, travel for work, but sometimes he would get to, like, get us with him to, you know, like, see some friends. But, like, the first sentence that my dad taught me was, vin rouge pour papa, s'il vous plaît.
One more time.
Vin rouge pour papa, s'il vous plaît.
Pour papa. Something about for my dad, please?
Can I have some red wine for my dad, please?
Vin rouge. I missed that part. I got that for my father, please.
No worries. My accent is also not very French.
No. It's entirely the fact that I don't know French.
It sounded way more French than, like, Quebec French.
Than my Quebec French, yeah. My one of my father's very good friends, when he still worked his job, was a Quebec French guy, and his Canadian English was really funny to me. Every time I heard was, like, he didn't know what the word discombobulated mean.
That's a complicated means. Word.
Yeah, it is. So he's like, my shit is all apart. Which I like very...
My shit is
all apart. I'm like, Pierre Denis, that is much better.
I like that much a lot better.
Yeah, he was
sometimes
like,
my shit is all
we're
apart.
We're going to a blues bar! If my father listens to this on the highway while he's driving, he'll be shouting right now. Let me just say, I'm Pierre Denis, we're going to a blues bar! That's his good friend from Quebec. We're going to a blues bar.
Oh,
and they did, one time, back in the 90s, and they got very drunk.
Just one time.
Just probably
only the
multiple
one time.
Times,
only the
I'm guessing.
One time.
I'm guessing it was multiple times. I just don't think that my dad has been back to Quebec since, like, 2002. So,
yeah, man,
who knows what Pierre is up to right now.
I know you were talking about, like, language and how it kind of changes your brain. Do you have that thing you're like, normally in Vancouver, I'm thinking mostly 90% in English because it's just easier. But do you feel like you think differently in a different language? And there's, like, all these things that I see and I read from folks. And, like, even when I was, like, immersed in French in Quebec when I, like, lived there for, like, 3 weeks. When I was 17, like, it changes the way that you think and your brain and you dream differently and...
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. I can definitely relate to that feeling. Especially just because, you know, like, all of the culture differences also come into the play. Mm-hmm. And I feel, like, English, whenever I speak English, I also think much more, like, directly.
Okay.
And I think maybe it's also partially because... you know, here, whenever you, I don't know, go to the store, you're going to just refer to, like, excuse me, can you help
it's
me?
It's very, like,
rather than, like,
functional language instead of, like, nuanced conversation.
Yeah, and in Polish, definitely, there's a little bit more of, like, you know, like, they're going to be more of, like, the sir, madame, and all of that bullshit to make it all polite. But also, I feel like, just to be polite, there's maybe a little bit more, nuances of, like, how you talk with people that you don't know. It's a little bit more straightforward here, so I feel like first when I came here, I felt like a lot of people, like, skip, like, a step between complete strangers to, like,
too friendly.
Just,
oh, we're guilty
too
of that.
Comfortable.
Yeah, it's,
sure.
Like, even, like, in, like, small differences, you know, like, on Facebook, whenever you, like, you know, have, like, your Facebook friends, and in Polish you have znajomi, which is friends is przyjaciele, and znajomi is, like, people you know.
Acquaintances.
So
that is like Facebook, but, people you know.
But I feel like that makes so much more sense on Facebook. Like, people I have on my Facebook are not all of my friends.
Of course. Of course.
There's like a, you know, a handful. But yeah, I feel like definitely in like a stages at the beginning when you, though I feel like I switched pretty well because I just met you and I feel like already like did the North American thing of skipping the in-between from like strangers to like,
ooh,
now we're chatting and all of that. Yeah, I feel like there's a little bit like a step in-between back in Poland. I feel like there's a little bit more of like a okay, before we get into it, like, there's a little bit of, you have to, like, work, unless it's with alcohol, then it's, like, immediately you're my best friend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm on the alcohol. You're being good and sober, whereas we are not.
Yeah.
And so now you're my best, well, I mean, Chris is still my best friend, but you're, like, real close right now.
And
you're my second best friend in this room,
on
for
that
sure.
note, let's set some boundaries right now and take a little break.
Or for real back now, because I said it for fake just now.
Well, because I didn't have the tape running. So
it's a tape.
So I can cut stuff out, but I can't, like,
insert. We got this tape going.
We just...
This is reels and reels of it.
We've discussed the difference between digital and analog before, Katie.
Have we enough, though?
I think it's fine.
I think we're fine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so before we left, I had to create a beautiful sign that says, I gotta pee. Just hold it up for Chris so that she knows when to end the episode, or when to end the first half of the episode.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, last week's episode, you were like, we should take a break because I have to pee. And I was like, I can't even edit that in a graceful way that saves your dignity.
No, that was me trying to end the episode because I thought it was at a glorious moment to end it. And then you were like, no, I want to talk more.
Yeah.
So I fucked that up real bad.
It's fine. It's all natural.
I know that it was my fault.
I'll let you know in advance that once I start, like, I either, like, don't talk at all, but, like, once I start talking, it's really hard to shut me up. So,
perfect.
You know, be brutal.
No
be like, fuck off. Just, like, go home.
I'll wait till she starts beating
you.
Me around the feet, and then we'll know it's time
I've never played footsie with you or done, like, a kick under the table.
You
this
could,
whole
though.
Podcast.
No, you just look me.
My legs
your
are too
eyes.
Short. I'm trying
you
to.
You have the tiniest.
I'm literally
like,
trying to kick you right now.
See, I can put my foot in your vagina. There would be no difficulty whatsoever. Apart from fitting my foot in there. But. Sorry, that's so rude. Oh my god.
I was
going
to double down on the rudeness of like, but I would be okay with that.
Yeah, so, speaking of rudeness, we didn't do a check-in. We don't have to ever, but we do that sometimes where we're just like, what did you do this week if we don't have shit to talk about? And so I posted a bunch of so Lady Comic got the world angry the last couple of days. Miss Eliza Schlesinger, who I've never really cared for very much. I've never really liked her stuff all that much. She does make me laugh, but I'm like, I don't like you.
We discussed that she's got hack premises, amazing tags.
Yeah, some of her writing is fantastic and some of it is very bad. And she went out into a publication that was interviewing her and said basically that all women comics tell the same joke about their vaginas and they suck and they should be doing better work. And I do jokes about World War II in my set.
And no other female comic
does
that.
And no other female comic does that. Just, like, ignoring the fact that Jackie Cation has an 8-minute bit about the Armenian genocide. Like, you're not the only cool female comic, lady. So that was what I've been doing for the last couple of days, is just, like, shitting on that idea.
And just writing World War II pussy
and
jokes.
And writing World War II pussy jokes! Should I share my World War II pussy jokes on the podcast? Okay, let me open up.
Oh no, you're gonna pull up your tweets.
Well, I have to because the funny thing is that I had written both before I started and after I finished, Dad, don't look at these. Because my father's a wonderful and supportive man and who wants to be involved in what I'm working on. But often I say gross things about my vagina, and I don't want him to hear about it,
well,
so sorry, Dad.
You know that he listens to this podcast, too, so now you're doubly making sure.
Whatever.
If he didn't read the tweets...
He did.
Oh.
It's fine. It's okay. Fine. I said, what I wrote was, Dad, look away, I'm going to do a bunch of very rude jokes already vagines right now, out of spite. And then I followed it up with, seriously, Dad, don't look at my last 4 tweets, or like anyone who doesn't like the P word, it's a pussy joke protest. So I had, my pussy is like World War II. No men on the home front, so the ladies are taking the fellas' jobs. And they're working with heavy machinery. So I like that very much. My pussy is like World War II. Your grandpa has a lot of stories about it, but in reality, or he has a lot of stories about being in it, but in reality, he was disqualified for having flat feet. My pussy is like World War II. Tom Hanks is tired of starring in movies about it. And lastly, my pussy's like World War II. It would have been over a lot faster if more competent people had been involved in it.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, but then also, as we're speaking to a Polish person, suddenly got him a little more complicated.
You weren't alive during World War II, so I'm less worried about it. I'm sorry for your family that was impacted, but I think you were probably okay.
It's a complicated as like
it always is.
Honest to God, as you were, I'm like my body temperature just started rising.
I felt it. I physically felt it happening.
I was like, I love those jokes. They were so fun. I'm like, why do I feel uncomfortable? And I'm like, oh, because we were talking about Poland. Because
the Polish people got kind of fucked in the war.
Like pretty huge time. Like
pretty huge time.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but it was a while ago at this point, and I didn't do it.
Oh no.
And nor did I mention anything specifically about Poland.
I know. But yeah, it made me have this awareness suddenly where I was just like, oh yeah.
Yeah. That's happened to me a couple times during this podcast, as it does during every podcast where I realize I've got problematic views.
Yeah.
always do, ultimately.
Me too.
Like, let's be
honest
like,
about this.
It's good because we're all like really fucking problem. Like, there's no way not to be. So it's like the good shit is to be like, oh wait,
this is a problematic thing I'm saying, and then like, here's what's wrong with it. Yeah,
self-awareness.
It's kind of the only way you can do it, right? Like, obviously, those are not cool things to say with no additional.
But it was in the specific context of the protesting of this woman who's like, there's no. Like, no, women have World War II jokes. They only talk about their vaginas, and so everyone was trying to find the best
honestly,
way
like,
to
the
make,
on,
like, a...
The only possible way to, like, write anything that's, like, I don't know, created by a woman, it's also, like, in any way valid. It's if
gotta
it talks
about
this. Only if she talks about this, like, World War II. Other than that, it's crap. No matter what it is,
absolutely.
It's, like, just...
It has to be something grandpas would appreciate. Otherwise, it's no good.
Oh, no.
Right? Like, you can't talk about, like, the gas crisis in the 70s. There's no joke about that, you can tell.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. Nobody's trying.
Yeah.
There's so many things people could write
and,
jokes about.
And
they don't.
We talk a lot about, on this podcast, like, really, really dark stuff a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like, our last episode was just, like, suicidal stuff. The episode before that was also a lot of dark suicide depression, like... And how to...
Then they're done. Oh, yeah, good stuff.
You, like, joke,
all that good
you,
stuff.
But, like, how to find a way to reframe that for yourself that, like,
yeah.
It gives, like, a dark chuckle because it just, like, pokes at the
inner soul.
That's
the only way...
You.
That's, like, what I also really appreciate about, like, Polish sense of humor. Because we went through, like, the war and all of the crap, we have to make fun of it. Like, the sense of humor in Poland, like, the mainstream one is much, like, darker than I think, like, mainstream North American sense of humor is. Because we went through this crap, so we had to learn how to make fun of it, and it's
kind
of, like...
never really stopped going through the crap, right? Like, ultimately, there's always been, like, the push of Russia, and there's been the push of Western Europe coming in and being, like, hey, your unique identity is not valuable to either of us, and squishing you from either side, right?
Yeah.
And, like, there are a lot of really strong Polish comedians. Am I mistaken there? Like,
there's
some big Polish, and they were, like, all on Netflix for a little while.
Oh,
like,
their
specials, like, all, there was, like, at least two Polish comedians that, like, got their specials on Netflix, and I think they only lasted for a couple of months before the license was up, but I saw it, and I watched some of it. With the subtitles on. And it was like, oh my God, these motherfuckers are funny. Like,
yeah,
how can you be anything? But it's why there are so many, like, Jewish comedians or Canadian comedians. Like, it's not necessarily always about, like jackboot oppression. That's a very good source of humor, like, a very dark humor. But, like, just any kind of, like, just not being part of the conversation. So, like, Canadians produce a lot of stand-up comics and stuff because we're not America. But we absorb America, and so we push those people out, and they go into the States and stuff like that. But in Europe, like, there are a lot of people who are reacting to the sort of dominant paradigms there, and then pushing back against that. And I saw, like, there was at least two, like, pretty strong Polish comedians. There was a woman and a man. I cannot remember their names right now, but they made it onto Netflix. And I was, like, watching their stuff with the subtitles on. I was like, oh my God, they have a much different experience of life than I do, and they're so dark, and they're so funny, but it's like, I don't get to obviously hear the wordplay in the same way, so it's kind of like
I
the poetry you were talking about.
I really appreciate, like, a lot of, like, Polish sense of humor, and it's like, it's either, like, really, like, dark and kind of, like, you know, like, we've been through a lot, like, we're all fucking, like, traumatized, or we'll have, like, post-generational trauma, like, you know, but we're gonna, like, you know, just,
we still have a job to do.
Yeah. It's also, like, you know, sometimes, like, through the times when we were struggling, you know, like, we're not independent. For some people, that was the only outlet because you didn't want to, you know, like, die or suddenly disappear or whatever. So, like, the only way was, like, in between people who you feel safe with, make jokes that, you know, like, it's, like, a small way of, like, fighting against it, but if you can't risk more, you have to handle it somehow. So that was, like, one of the ways, and it continues to be. And what I really also appreciated, like, it's always, like, a lot of humor is also very witty, which I really appreciate, like, very, like, kind of sharp,
of course,
dry stuff. But also, like, on the opposite side, it can get also really, like, abstract and kind of childish in a way, but, like, a very, like, the whole, like, you can go back to, like, being a child, but it comes from, like, a wise place. So it's, like, buffoonery,
totally.
Right? Like,
yeah, buffoonery, totally.
Yeah, pretty much that. And I really loved it. I remember, not a long time ago, I went to see a Polish movie at Ria Theater with a bunch of my friends, and I felt like some of the humor was not being caught because I feel like people were assuming that certain parts of the movie were played seriously. Well, they were just, like, really abstract. Like, they're so...
like a dark,
like, they're supposed
that
to be,
you,
like,
understood.
Funny because they're so absurd. And I feel like some people were just like,
That's sad.
Or like, oh, that's not very smart, or that's so sad, or whatever. Oh, no. And it's like, no, it's just very, like, abstract kind of humor.
Me, it's
just
funny.
Really.
Trust me, it's funny. That's like, a movie that I was never able to finish because I actually took it out of Roger's video. I rented it from a video store, which was crazy.
Wow.
This would have been like 2007, 2008,
I want
to say. Your
face did such a different thing. You're like, oh,
I went on a full face journey. Let's be honest here. Like, I went to the islands and back again. But there was this movie called Goodbye Lenin that came out. It was about basically this, like, young German man and his German mother, and they were East Germans.
I know the movie.
So, but I don't know if the microphone.
Yes,
does.
Of course. Sorry.
I don't know if all of these beautiful people know or not. But basically, this man's mother was in some sort of, like, sort of coma during the fall of the Berlin Wall and all that kind of stuff. So when she came back to awareness, she wasn't aware that East and West Germany had unified and all of these things had happened. And so her son had to basically convince her that they were still in East Germany. And so it was still, like, I'm still going to the regular stores, these are the regular programmings and stuff, and I never finished it because the DVD that I rented from Rogers had a big old scratch in it. So I've never seen the end of the film. I don't know how it ends. I'll never know!
But no spoilers.
But the guy in it is a very handsome fella who is in Inglourious Basterds by Quentin Tarantino. He played the German kid who's in the movie within the movie. Who is the sniper? You never saw it. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Don't want to.
Someone in this here microphone knows what I'm talking about. But he was in Goodbye Lenin, and I've never seen it finish. So that's like the Eastern Europe narrative that's never been communicated to the West, as encapsulated as my own experience.
Wow, that was a journey that you took us on.
I've had a lot of white wine tonight, Chris. And at least half of it is your fault.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. I'm an enabler.
I feel like I'm missing out.
You're drinking your delicious iced tea and being a responsible adult.
Mm-hmm.
Staying sober on a Friday night.
Like, all of the European stereotypes, and I'm just, like, crushing them.
I know.
Just crushing them. Just having some Arizona
vodka,
iced tea.
Why
you not have vodka?
Honestly, like, clubbing in Krakow was the best.
Oh my god, I love Krakow. Krakow is lovely. It used to be, it's like, one of the older like cities.
Yeah,
in Poland,
so you go
and it's
like touristy and there's horse and carriage, but then you go to like club and it's like in an underground cave.
It's lovely. I love it.
So cool. And
underground,
just like,
underground cave, you say.
Yes, an underground cave as opposed to a mountaintop cave.
All caves
right?
are valid.
Yeah, all caves are totally valid. This is like, you know, you've got the beautiful, like, the city. There's, like, a plaza, and then you go just outside to, like, a little curvy street, and you go down stairs, like, for a long time. And suddenly it's like, and then you don't...
Talk about oons.
You don't drink your drink while you're, like, on the dance floor and you have a drink that you're splashing around. You take a shot of vodka at the bar, and it's, like, lemon, it's ice cold, it's beautiful, and then you just, like... dance for an hour, and then you go back for another, and then you dance
hard
for an
liquor.
Hour. Like, it was beautiful. I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Poland's the best, basically.
Poland is the best, and I want to go.
Also, like, talking the topic of vodka, it's really important. Drink Polish, good Polish vodka, not, like, all the crap that I've been... Zubrówka is the best. Zubrówka. It's my personal favorite. It's not, like, the most, like, expensive one, but it's, like, so yummy.
But
and
they
it's...
don't carry the clear Zubrówka. They only carry the bison grass.
But I like this
that
one, too.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's gorgeous. I really
it's
like
really,
it.
Really
yeah,
good.
It
I
goes,
might buy some on the way home.
It
today.
Goes down very smoothly, and that's what I like about it.
Yes.
But, like, it's documented that, like, Polish... We fucking discover vodka, so that's why I drink Polish vodka because
Russians.
We...
No, seriously. What's he going to do? Is he listening? Is Vladimir listening right now? You guys have better vodka.
We have the best vodka.
I don't know what the pullback was, and I was like, oh no.
It was just Mr. Putin might have a bit of a fit.
They know.
They know what the deal
they know.
Is.
Polish vodka.
Zubrówka is very delicious.
Zubrówka?
Zubrówka? Zubrówka. It's very good.
It's so good.
I've had it a couple of times. Now, the band that I used to be in, the Dreadnoughts, they're very popular in Poland.
Huh.
And so I'm given to understand, there's a really hilarious video of the mandolin player setting his trousers on fire in Poland. Apparently they're well liked there because they're messes. And it just makes me really want to have a shot of vodka right about now.
Well, next time your people come back from Poland, like, get us to bring some, like, Zubrówka home. And
yeah, I mean, we have some of it here. We have the bison grass variety available to purchase here.
Just everyone wants to mix it with apple juice, and I'm like, why
it's
would you do that?
Why?
It tastes fine.
Also,
but,
just like,
but don't, just shoot it.
I just, also the thing that, like, everyone here always wants to drink chasers afterwards, and maybe it's because you drink the, like, disgusting non-Polish vodka, that's why you need a chaser, but, like,
I just drink water like a person, generally. Like, I want to be hydrated, but I also want to drink vodka, so mostly I just drink vodka and, like, a soda. Like just sparkling water.
Yeah, but, like, soda, like, I loved, it was, like, an ice-cold shot glass with the frozen vodka in, and you just, like... And it was just, like, clean. It felt
that's
like it
perfect
was...
perfect to me, but I just want to drink water in addition.
Sure.
Then drink it separately.
Okay, that's fine. I can do that. I promise I can do that.
If you need to dilute it, I also,
I don't.
But
I don't. I'm very strong.
For people who can't handle, like, straight-up just vodka, like, I also like Polish flag, which is, like, vodka. Like, half vodka, half the... It's like a
something
raspberry,
red.
Raspberry, oh shit, I don't know what's
oh,
the word.
Oh, Chambord?
Juice? Liqueur? Is it alcoholic?
No, it's not alcoholic,
like
it's sweet.
Then.
Like, I think it's more like condensed.
Like a cordial or something like that. Like,
grenadine. I don't know.
We're just
throwing words
at you.
Sweet, sweet raspberry something. And it looks like a Polish flag because it's like, you know.
Grenadine, then, is probably exactly what it is.
It's white and red, like Polish flag. So it's
pomegranate.
You do like a shot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the way to. But again, I just go for the.
Just regular vodka.
Yeah, it's good.
It literally felt like when I took a sip of like the cold, clear, perfect vodka in Poland, it like cleansed my soul.
Yeah.
Like, honestly?
That's what, like, my grandpa back in Poland makes, like, in his house. Makes his own vodka. But, like, you know, like, in Poland, are very popular the ones that are, like, either with plums or with cherries. So it's either Wiśniówka or Śliwowica. Śliwowica. Oh, I love Śliwowica, the one with plums.
Yeah.
And he always makes it, you know, like, at the percentage that, you know, you couldn't legally sell it because it's too high. But, like, that's what, like, whenever anyone in the family...
Thank you, Grandpa.
Whenever anyone in the family is sick, he just, like, brings whatever he produces and it's just, like, drink that and you're gonna be good. And next day, everyone
you're
is already feeling good.
You're
it,
cured.
It, like, burns out all of the, you know,
yeah,
like...
it just...
It's
it
like,
kills every... It's an antimicrobial.
Purifies you, you know, like, the demons from your body, like, run away because it's, like, so pure and
thanks,
perfect.
Thanks, Grandpa. How do you say Grandpa in Polish?
Jehu? No.
No.
Like Jesus.
No, I thought there was Babcia and Jehu.
Jadzius. I mean, Jadzius is like a cute way. Jadek would be probably the most. Jadek.
Jadek.
I guess.
I tried so hard. Got so far, but in the end, it doesn't even matter.
She just Linkin Park does.
It's almost funnier if I fuck it up, guys. If I gotten it perfectly, it wouldn't be hilarious. Oh, God. I'm bad at this game.
I feel like we should have had vodka and ice for this podcast. And I would have. It's a terrible thing.
I would have had it, and it would have been dreadful. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And I would have, you would have had to pack me home in an ice chest.
I know. I didn't offer you that as an option. I was like, beer, wine, kombucha, or water.
And I have some back at home. I even have, like, the fancy, like, Belvedere vodka. Mm-hmm. It's, like, the expensive Polish vodka at home. But, yeah, I had, like, a really bad experience with that. Because I got it a year ago from my parents when they visited for a while. And then I was going for a vacation with them. So I had someone pets it, you know, my cat, and also stayed at my place. And I was like, okay, you look like a nerd and just like a very chill person. And then I came back home to like lots of like packages of condoms underneath my bed and half of my vodka drank.
No! And just like, can I say you're half a package of condoms?
Half of the vodka was drunk, gone. And yeah, just like a lot of random, just there a lot of things that I was
stayed at your house. Oh my God, that's so rude.
I'm not friends with her anymore, but it just, you would never guess. She just looked like the most like, oh yeah, just like a virtual person. Don't I just like, you know,
I'm gonna fuck a bunch friend. Of people at your house.
Yeah, and like there was a guest room and guest bed. Okay, if like she really had an itch that she needed scratched. Okay, you have the guest bedroom. Don't go into my bedroom.
She had sex in your bedroom?
Yep.
Rude!
Yeah, but like,
I have very strong feelings about this.
It takes really long time to get me to a place when I like,
you hit your limit
at someone. Like, yeah. I have like a lot of patience, but when your it's happened, your limit is high. Any, like, I think there's like maybe 5 people who experienced me being like, okay, I literally,
you're full on Polish anger.
And it's like, it's not even like rage, it's like very like cold and kind of like, you know, like, that's, you're gonna be terrified European. Because I'm just gonna like, just with my eyes, with I'm going to kill you. Even though I'm talking umbrella. Completely, like my voice is totally, like, stable. I'm not raising anything.
I never want to cross
and
you,
Anya. Those people, never. Like, just were too terrified to come back to my life. And,
oh, my God.
But it takes a lot. I'm let really,
me, let me promise
really
you right now, I will not have sex in your house. I promise.
That interaction, I just felt so, I was just like, oh my God, what's happening?
I just thought that's so funny because, like, I'm very particular about what people do when they stay at my house because I have a spare room in my apartment. My wife and I stay in our one bedroom. We have a 2-bedroom apartment that we live in New West. And when anybody stays with us, it's kind of like, it's fine for the first 3 to 4 days. No matter what happens, it's fine. But at day 5, we start making some serious moral judgments on the people who are staying with us. Katya, if you're listening, that's my sister-in-law who lives in Harlem in the Netherlands, and she's the only one who comes and stays with us for more than a week. And I'm like, you're a filthy bitch, Katya!
Oh, no!
It's fine. She left her sunscreen, so
you
now we won't
burn. You popped the microphone,
burn.
So I might have to cut it out.
You're a filthy bitch, Katya.
I'll edit that part in.
No, please leave it. Please leave it. I want her to hear.
I'll do both.
I want her to hear it when she's on the train.
Oh, my God.
And I want her to be like, I'm going to get her back.
Oh, my
That's
God.
My sister-in-law. I love her to pieces.
We're
very similar.
This is going off the rails really hard.
Yeah, it's Friday night, Chris. What do you want?
Yeah, I don't know. I want to keep talking to Anya.
Yeah, but let's talk to Anya.
What do you... I'll give you whatever you want.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yes. I kind of want to go back to Polish pagan witch life.
Ooh, yay.
So you started talking about that.
Like, what is your experience with... You were like, in some places, like, grandmas have the power, and there's, like, this kind of, like, culture, but, like, do you know... I don't know. I don't even know what questions I want to ask, but I just want to know, like, what is...
Tell
like,
me the, about your witch friends.
Because, like, because my, well, experience I, of I Poland, my experience yeah. of Poland is, like, opulent Catholicism. And it's so
but see, even in that
cold and paved, and then there's poor people sitting right outside with, like, no feet begging outside of the cathedral, and it's, like, such a disparity, and but it's, like, see, awful.
Okay. Even the, like, a lot of the celebrations that are, like, Catholic, pseudo-Catholic celebration that we have mm-hmm. right now in our culture, actually, pagan celebration that, like, Catholic Church was like, shit, this is too powerful, like, people don't want to stop doing it, we're gonna pretend that it's, like, about, I don't know, Virgin Mary, even though it's, like, one of my favorite, like, oh, goddesses my God, please. Back, from pagan beliefs is Majanna, and she's like the goddess buff of like the winter and death and dreams and all of that, but also like rebirth, all of that crap. a lot of like not a lot of people are as conscious of it. A lot of practices that right now are like the cult of like Virgin Mary, that
divine
like
divine feminine something yeah.
are actually right now the way people practice in Poland are actually like the practices that were for the goddess Majanna, and actually there is even like at the first day of spring right now there is a, you know, like church to cover and all of that, and there is a practice of you make, especially like little kids make dolls of Majanna goddess, and they're either getting burned or thrown into the river to drown.
Wow.
Because
that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of like symbology around that, and it was twisted to represent more like, oh yeah, we're like throwing the Majanna goddess into the river to drown her so the spring comes or whatever, like, but it's like, yeah, but it actually her whole like drowning represented going to a spiritual world, because Majanna actually would represent like the goddess Ishtar or Venus or you know, like
the goddess of, like a love goddess.
Yeah, and the whole like myth of Venus as well, like even connected with like the stars and everything. Yeah,
circulating
like when Venus disappears for a while, it like goes back to the Ishtar myth about like, you know, going down to the underground, and that's when the winter comes or
Persephone.
Whatever. Persephone myth, all of that. It's all connected very strongly, because as all of the myths, and I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's still a very like part of the culture that's right now happening right now, and the same like during for example. We don't have, I mean, now we're starting to celebrate Halloween as well, though it's, like, a little bit iffy, because at the time of the year, we go to, like, clean up the graves and everything, so it's supposed to be less of, like, a party, but more of, like,
respectful.
Be insightful, think about your morality / mortality / go clean up the graves and leave candles and, you know, respect, you know, those who came before you and all of that, so it's a little bit less party time. That's like slowly changing because we like to party, but yeah, there's the whole Zaduszki, which is before that, when it's again like the day when the barrier between like the spiritual world and the real world is the thinnest, and you like leave out the food and you can connect with your
ancestors
and all of that, or I don't know, also during summer, which will be coming in, like, on the first day of summer.
Yeah, the solstice is next week.
Yeah, that's also, like, there are a lot of, like, celebrations around that that are extremely pagan. Just Catholic Church, like, took them and called them, you know, like, the celebrating of the saint, this person, or whatever.
Instead of,
like, what it was actually about, but people still do the same things that they did. Like, in pagan times, yes. It just, the name is different, so it's like, it's totally Catholic right now, right? No, it's not at all.
Well, that's what I always thought about Catholicism, was, like, every saint represents a different kind of aspect of humanity, just as every pagan, like, pantheistic god or deity would represent a different aspect of, like, nature or a human experience or whatever, and every saint got named that, and that's why, like, in Latin American culture, Santeria, like, there's people, different saints represent different parts of that, and I think in Poland, too, it's so close and so closely tied that, like, you celebrate every saint's day. Like, Saint So-and-So Day was very important in my house, and Saint So-and-So Day was also very important, and Saint So-and-So was also very important. We had a calendar with every saint's day on it, and you would do something.
I mean, that's also, you know, like, because that also, like, plays into the whole fact that we celebrate name days, which is another, you know, possibility to get drunk, party time, but, yeah,
because when it's your name day, you celebrate you, it's and everyone parties for you.
Even though it's supposedly just, you know, like, the day of the name of that saint, but it's if it's your name as well.
St. Catherine's not very exciting, unfortunately.
You kind of have I had St. Christina, St. Ludvika, and then I chose Marie. And that was, like, for my confirmation, it was Mary Magdalene was the saint that I chose.
Oh, yeah. The sluttiest saint.
Yeah.
But see, going back to the whole, like, it's all about the saints, but actually it's not. Like, St. Andrew's, like, in Poland, like, it's literally what we do to predict, like, future. We do all of the, you know, like, reading, like, the shape of the,
Leaves?
No, we use a candle wax.
Oh, the wax.
On the water, like, through the keyhole to, like, read from, like, about the future from that. Or, like, you know, like, you throw flower crowns into the water and, like, depending, like, which one floats the longest, like, whatever, this thing or that thing. And we do all of those things. They're very, very pagan, witchy things.
Yes.
But it's St. Andrews, so it's...
It's very Catholic. It's fine.
So it's totally not witchy. It's just a thing that we do, but...
Yeah.
But it's actually, like, so present. And
see, the Swedes are so pagan in that way, and in terms of, like, Santa Lucia, who they sort of venerate during Christmas. Like, the, like, 14-year-old girls in the house go through the household with, like, their beautiful white gowns on and, like, a wreath on their heads with candles. And then they, like, pass out presents or whatever. Like, don't holler at me, Sweden. I don't know shit about how shit works.
But, like, there's so much about, like...
There's so much Catholicism that is full on witch.
Well, because that was a huge piece of Catholicism was like
witch business.
What you already said, where you know we can't make these people change, even though we want to make these people like bend to our will somehow. So we'll just rename it. Okay, whatever the fuck you're doing over there, we'll call it St. Andrew's Day. Are you okay with that? You can still keep doing what you're doing. They're like, fine. We'll call it whatever the fuck you want. We're gonna do whatever the fuck we want.
We good, y'all.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's so awesome. It's these things that I don't
know. The combination between the Catholic Church and totally paganistic rituals are hilarious.
Oh my God, I love it. Every high holiday is just a pagan ritual. Like, that's what it is.
Ultimately, yeah, it is. Like, get with it, Catholic Church. Everybody's a witch. And everybody's a witch? Super cool.
No.
That's a fact. Suck on it, Pope.
Oh my God.
But I do have witches in my bloodline. Like, yeah,
tell
I do.
More.
There is from both sides of my family.
I believe it more from you than from me.
Mostly women, but like my grandma also gets the dreams about the future once in a while.
Terrifying.
But it is kind of creepy when they come true, and it's like oddly on
Nanny
point,
right.
And you're like, what's going on?
Nanny knew what's up.
But
turns out.
Also, her grandpa was, like, a city witcher person as well.
Witchman. A witchman.
Witcher.
Like, yeah, no, yeah. I know. He's creating new names for it. A witchman.
Yeah, but yeah, there are actually, like, quite a bit of witches in my family that were documented. And
that's so cool.
That's why, I mean, I like, learned a little bit from, like, either, like, both of my grandmas, still, like, the other one. That's, like, from my dad's side, was more open to, like, talking about it more, like, as witchy things. And the other grandma was more like, oh, you're experiencing that because of God. It's, like, more like, it is still witchy,
within
the context of like, Catholicism. But I've learned a lot of things from both of them. That's why I, like, started, like, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. That's why I relate to all of the, like, all witchy business, if... I don't know, I don't go to any church or anything like that, but...
Witch business is what we're all about
here
on the CNAGS podcast.
Yeah, because you're carrying it within you as you go about your day, because,
and
like...
that's, like, the way I was relating to, like, my grandma's the most in terms of spirituality. I felt like when they talked about all of this, like, the witchy stuff to me, I was feeling like, I get that, that resonates with me. It makes me feel something. And when I, you know, recitate the same kind of like whatever prayer it is at school, because, you know, like the obligatory classes about all that stuff. Like, I didn't care. Like, it didn't make me feel things. And when I was doing, I don't know, talking about witchy stuff with my grandmas, it was making me feel things and want to do things. And I just, I don't know, it just felt much more. And also because of, like, the cult of like, femininity between the witch, like, culture is just so beautiful that I just, I have enough of, like, all of the dicks and just,
I've had enough of dicks.
I've had enough of dicks!
But, like, honestly, like, yeah, venerating the feminine was, like, a huge part of, like, my general exploration of, like, my queerness and all of that kind of stuff, where it's, like, looking at it as a spiritual practice, and, like, I was raised Catholic in Rome, and, like, Rome and Roman Catholic, but, like, in Canada, so it wasn't as intense, and there was no extra stuff. Like, there was no going to church, and then also your grandma took you out on the other Sunday that was maybe, like, a different festival that you wouldn't celebrate in church. Like, I never got, I'm feeling, like, actually a profound loss in my heart right now as we talk about
it. Catholicism?
Well, just about the connection to, like, my Polish grandma, who I never knew.
Right, yeah.
Who could have maybe told me about some of these things that, like, would have made Catholicism more
achievable.
Not even achievable or palatable, but just, like, in context. Do you know what I mean? Like, I only got the, like, the big things.
Sure.
Only the big ones that you're supposed to do, and then in the meantime, all you're supposed to do is just, like, be good. And it's like, that's not fucking sustainable. You have to have other things that sustain you throughout, between the high holidays or whatever.
I fully do not know how to be good.
Yeah. I'm neither do I.
Soup's bad at
I joke that I'm Catholic Teflon. Like, I never developed guilt on anything. Like, everything just flows right off me.
I feel bad about everything, even stuff I should have never done.
Oh, well, then
I just feel bad,
so I'm as Catholic as you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Basically. Someone got it. Might as well be me.
I know. But, like,
so good at guilt.
I feel like, yeah, like, a little bit of a, like, a loss in my heart, where it's, like, it would have been really awesome to talk to my Polish grandma about what do you do in between the big celebrations as, like, an everyday practice of feeling connected to other people, connected to, like, whatever spiritual thing you think there is, regardless if that's God or nature or the in-between amalgamation of those things. Like, that's really important. That's something that I've discovered, like, myself as an adult. And just, like, I wish I had my Polish grandma for that.
I don't know if it's a kielbasa, but I wish my granny was here.
From, like, the small kind of, like, you know, like, the mix of, like, Catholic slash witchy things, one of the things that I remember really loved when I was a kid, whenever we would, like, go on walks, especially, like, more countryside, I loved the little, like, they would make those little, like, temples by, like, usually bigger trees, because it would go back to, like, the cult of trees in, like, pagan traditions, and those usually were, you know, like, the places of cult, but because of Catholicism, like, they got turned into, you know, like, they put, like, the little statues of, like, whatever, like, Mary Virgin whatever or whatever, saint, especially, but, like, those little places were always just so beautiful, and, like, you would go there and see, like, people, like, leaving, like, flowers or, like, or little candles, and it just felt so, like, beautiful and simple and honest, not, like, this kind of, like, you go to church and they're gonna, like, I don't know, teach you whatever lesson, and you're gonna say, like, oh, yes, amen, like, cool.
I fucking wish people could see you do the crossing of yourself, because it looks so, like, just unbelievably weary when you do it. Like,
oh, God.
I just, ugh, fuck, fine.
It's what I loved about Catholicism is Mary and, like, the worship of Mary.
Mary's the tits.
Always. And when I cleaned out my dad's house, because he passed away, he just had thousands of pictures of the Virgin Mary, and it was mostly black Madonna.
Yeah, that is the most
put it up in your locker, motherfucker.
The most popular paint, like, and overall, like, the place of cult of Madonna and in Poland is Częstochowa, where there is, like, a painting of the black Madonna, and people just, like, go there and, like, they go through the whole for the, like, church, like, on their knees, like, around the picture and everything, and there are just a lot of people just, you know, like, go from a whole Poland to there, like, for healing or whatever. And the cult of Madonna, it's again,
fix
like,
my broken dick.
It's a cult, but the cult of Madonna goes back to the whole, like, Polish witchiness around, like, female I love womanhood. Catholic
cultism. It's so interesting to me.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, it just, again, like, it adopts all of those beliefs about, like, yeah, like, this Majana or other, you know, like...
Majana and Madonna. Is...
Majana, yeah.
Like, that's pretty fucking close. It's
pretty close.
I think it probably works together in a very nice way.
That's fascinating to me as someone who is raised very agnostic. Like, my family is every inch a Canadian non-religious family. Mm-hmm. I've got family members that are very religious, but they're not Catholic. They're Jehovah's Witness. And it's just, like, it's so foreign to me, right? Like, it's just absolutely foreign to my experience. And growing up and being a teenager who then went to a Baptist church, my parents were bewildered by the stuff that I was interested in. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm not interested in anymore. Now I'm kind of like, I'm super into Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
If I could be in a Mary Magdalene cult, I'd be all about that.
But it's like, I'm so into like the dual Mary, where it's like there's Mary Magdalene.
Double Mary.
And then there's Mary the mother. And it's like she represents, again, like there's the virgin whore dichotomy, which is a problematic, horrible bullshit. But then there's also the like virgin mother crone. And you were saying the crone is like very worshipped. Or not worship, but, like, respected. Like, respect your elders, respect your elder women. Like, the crone doesn't show up a lot in scripture or in Catholicism at all. Like, she's not really represented, but there's the virgin and there's the mother.
Yeah.
And she's often the same person, which is fucked up. And that
also, like, goes back to, like, the Majana cult, like, the pagan cult, because she, like, there are beliefs that either, like, Majana is supposed to, like, represent winter, but also, like, depending on, like, where in Poland you were, she would also, like, get rebirth into the, like, bringing spring and all of that, or there's some, like, places where, like, oh, it would be her daughter who would be bringing the spring or whatever, but, yeah, like, she would represent both, like, nightmares, but also dreams, death, but also rebirth, you know, the cold of winter and pain and all of that crap, but also, you know, like...
spring and rebirth and healing
and all of that, you know, like all those things at the same time. And I just love the duality of that.
That's beautiful. Yeah. It's, that sounds like Hinduism as well. There's like Kali, who is the destroyer and creator at the same time, right? It's like, I'm gonna fucking crush you and then raise up what Kali out of that Ma. Dust, I will bring a new thing. And it's cyclical and it's the moon and it's everything. Like, it just makes me so like, oh my god.
The moon is my girlfriend, just saying.
The moon is your girlfriend?
Yeah,
the
we're going steady.
The moon's such a slut. She was my girlfriend.
Shit.
She's got a lot of love to go around, you guys.
I'm super happy in a poly-A relationship with Moon.
She a big bitch. She can be with all of us at once. She a big bitch.
Oh my god, what are you doing?
Who knows what I'm doing? I just watched John Mulaney's, like, 2012 special again. I was like, oh, he does a lot of, like, African-American vernacular English bits. And then it gave me permission to do it again, having watched it, which is terrible. I don't have a... The moon is large. He can love us all. How's that? Do you like that, Chris? Are you okay with that?
I didn't mean to police your language, but I felt my temperature rising again.
It's fine. You're allowed.
I'm just sensitive.
I will listen to anything that crops up for you. I'm not concerned about you thinking what I'm saying is problematic.
Oh my god.
I'm willing to meet you on that level.
I'm feeling so many feelings right now.
It's a lot of stuff.
Because honestly, like...
You're Polish as fuck.
My temperature rose in my core and drained from all of my limbs.
So you're hot in the center and chilly on the outside.
Yeah, so I'm just... It feels like it's almost a panic attack.
I hope not.
But in, like, a really good, warm, comforting way, where I'm like, all my blood
came... A fun attack.
Yeah, all my blood came together to hug me in the middle.
Is that where we should end this podcast, then? Because that's,
like, where all my feelings are right now. I don't know, we could process them a little bit.
You can chill on it.
Anya, you brought up a lot of Polish feelings for me.
A lot of Polski feels.
What I've been trying to do is, so I wrote a song about my dad. I never, like, I only knew about Poland from his experiences... And then we were estranged for a long time, and then I went to Poland without him knowing. I thought he had moved back there, and I had no idea, and I thought I was going to run into him on the street every day. Every day I was looking over my shoulder when I was in Warsaw, when I was in Krakow, like, just like, is he here? I don't know. I tried phoning him. The phone was out of order. Like, it was just this whole thing. And so he's actually passed away for real, and has been dead now for many months, and I still don't, it's not...
he totally could pop integrated. Up anywhere.
He just seems like he's always just kind of over my shoulder. And I wrote this song about him when I went to Poland, and we went to Auschwitz, and it was a lot about, like, not just Jewish people, but, like, Polish, Catholic, everybody was a potential target.
And yeah, so half of the victims overall, like, of the camps were Polish. Half of the Polish victims were Jewish. Half of them were non-Jewish.
Yeah.
So it's like six out of like 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so like half of the people. Intensely, like, you don't know.
It's not really spoken in North America. Like, it's only known about, you know, like, all of the Jewish victims, which, like, it's good that it's being talked about because it's an important issue, especially right now with, like, all of the Nazi bullshit coming up again.
We had Nazi, always Nazi bullshit coming
I had out. Nazi graffiti in my hallway at work, disgusting. And I told the supervisor, I'm like, look at that Nazi fucking bullshit that's there. He's like, oh my god, I saw that too, I'm deleting it, and I'm, like,
erasing it. It's just so terrifying, awful. Like, especially coming from, like, Poland when you, like... We've seen it happen.
You had real Nazis.
It happened. That's how it started. It wasn't like right away, like, you know, camps and everything. It starts like this, and it just depends on like response. So let's like respond to this bullshit, so nothing like that happens again, because it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's, so like the city, Auschwitz is like the German name because like Germany invaded Poland. It's Oświęcim. It's obligatory trip for like everyone in Poland, like a school trip that everyone has to go there, and it's really like. Haunting, and even like the most like obnoxious people in my school were like very quiet and respectful. The moment though that I remember the most was at the time, like, we're all like children, and the person guiding us walked up to us and started pointing at people, and like, you would like survive, but you would be like kidnapped to Germany and Germanized, and everyone else, because you don't have blue eyes and blonde hair, all of you would die. And it just was really just like a moment of that. And like knowing, like, I have like family members who, like, you know, died in camps,
I'm really
or just
sorry
like overall.
To bring it back to this, but
yeah,
like,
no, it's, I feel like it's important, especially just, I don't know, also like a lot of like North American politicians, like, accidentally saying that, like, Polish camps, and it's like, no, German camps in occupied Poland. Don't call them Polish camps. They're Polish, and the only way they were Polish, that because most of the people there were Polish.
Yeah.
But the
yes.
People, yeah, it's
and
German
I
camps.
I had
just...
no idea.
It's not talked about.
And to go there and see, like, well, my dad was born in 1933. And so he was a little kid during that time. So it's like any knock at your door could be...
Yeah.
It's over.
Could be the Gestapo.
It could be... Yeah, it could just be like, you're done. So, like, I understood a lot more of his, like, fear and paranoia living here.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though it didn't work for our life that, like, anytime anyone knocked at the door, he would immediately go to the door and be like, you can't come in, I couldn't bring friends over. Like, it was such a huge... He was so very much in that boundary. He couldn't accept that things were safe. Like, I really recognize the PTSD, like, so much more. And so then I wrote a song about that.
Mm.
And then the third verse of that was, like, this whole thing about, like, how he used to, like, hit my mom and blah, blah, blah. Once he was dying in the hospital, my mom and I went to see him. And she told me, it's like, he never hit me, actually. That's, like, a whole thing that you made up. It was just really, like, fighting and verbal and whatever. So I'm like, fuck, I have to rewrite this whole third verse of the song. We're performing it next week.
Jeez.
And it was this huge thing. Like, I wrote the song after going to Poland, and I had this whole, like, whatever, like, outpouring of empathy for my dad. And then also, like, the stuff that you went through doesn't dictate that your behavior was actually really shitty. You still made bad choices.
Telling.
Like... You still have to work on yourself, even though you've gone through bad things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was, like, the turning point in the song is about, like, you still chose... The first two verses are, like, here's the bad shit that's set up, here's your life. And then the third verse was, like, and then when you moved to Canada, here's all the bad shit that you still continue to do instead of getting better. But I'm like, oh, I have to reframe that as well. So I've got, like... 5 days to rewrite that song. So this conversation has brought up so many things. Anyway, I took it to a very dark place.
Yeah, no worries.
I love it.
That's how the Polish do.
But thank you so much for relaying that.
The Polish are inherently goth.
Also, I hope, like, you don't feel like I'm skipping like the topic again, but no, like please. Going back to what also you're mentioning about like after you went to Poland, like seeing the different kind of perspective, mm-hmm. what hit me the most when I came to Canada, I realized how many days that we celebrate during the year are connected with like uprisings and war and like celebrating like you know like people who for like Iowa being like
resistance
like the resistance like that I don't see in here and also like little things like knowing that like in Canada like you know kids at school learn like Mary Had a Little Lamb and the songs that I was learning when I was a kid at school were like about kids that they're our age, like, in primary school, singing about, like, huh, if you're gonna get, like, shot by the bullet, at least the cute nurse gonna give you a kiss on the nose.
Oh, my God!
Oh, boy! Mary had a little lamb, maybe you won't die.
Holy fuck.
So just, like, things like this, even though I, like, was, you know, like, born, like, when it was all good, times of peace, we were ready, like, you know, like...
Yeah. Capitalism was totally into it.
Poland is, like, an, like, amazing place right now. Whenever I go back... In Poland, I'm like, shit, there's, like, more better, like, shit than it's in Canada. Because people, like, have, like, this, like, no, we have, like, better food. Like, it's, like, they're more, like, cultural, like, I don't know, shit events. Like, I don't know, culture, all of that crap. And and we have... Okay, but sorry, I came here and people were, like, questioning if we have, like, the same kind of technology that, like, is in Canada. Oh my God. I was like, what the fuck?
It's literally... Y'all got computers?
But, like, it was really fun when I would get to, like, okay, I'm going to fuck with people and be like, I had a dude, like, actually believe me that I ride on polar bear to school. Like, actually was, like, completely believing me
100%. I didn't even believe you ride a horse to school. I believe you walked or took a bus.
Yeah, so just...
But you took a polar bear to school, obviously.
Yes, because, clearly. You know, pole are bears. Definitely pole. Are, and pole.
And... Never mind that Poland's, like, a little bit kind of...
Yeah, a little bit south. You know, just... But that how was, like, my way of, like, handling, you know, people just being ridiculous. Because, like, yeah, we've got everything. Like, I never experienced all of the stuff that, you know, like... My parents and grandparents experience, but it's still part of the culture. It's still like kids grow like those are like memories, like you know, like the whole like spectacles that like kids like would like here we're putting in spectacles representing like the uprisings and all of that, that's like what we did, like you know, already like primary school kids, but like that's what we're doing, and just not having a sense because you grew up with it, so you feel like this is just reality, and not having a sense of like childhood of, like, Canadian kids look different. Like, they weren't, like, that... The reality of war and all that haven't been brought up into their minds as early on as it is was for us. I think that, like, really...
It's different.
Put in perspective... It's so different. Cultural differences between, like... Also, overall, how, like, people, like, I hear, like, even adults in the former America talk about war. Just really... It's a very weird experience. I feel like it was like a so lived detached. Reality. Yeah.
So yeah, we're low-grade witches.
Low-grade witch!
So Katie has tarot and I have crystals.
I got crystals too, but it's a low-key
I feel like you're collection. More crystals than me.
I got more, I may have more in terms of number, but less in terms of size. You have big crystals.
I definitely I got little babies. I charge them in the moonlight and I tap with their sharp points on my body when I'm sad.
I have like the whole altar full of crystals. See, and I have like my Jeanne doll that I made and all of that crap. I have it all, and yeah, I'm more of a solitary witch, but I'm like deep into
fairly
shit.
Witchy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I've got like this little like a quote unquote meditation altar. And I've got like this little beautiful piece of geometric art that is like a Fibonacci spiral basically, and I've framed it and put it on my altar so that it like fits. And there's some candles up top, and then on top of this, like, framed picture of geometric art, there are a bunch of little quartz crystals and some citrine and some calcite, and also some, what's the purple one?
Amethyst.
That's terrible. I've got a couple of cubes of pyrite, and I also have, like, a couple of kyanite fans, and I have... a couple of pieces of malachite and a really nice piece of bismuth, the Pepto-Bismol mineral. if you're curious.
And what
does
that do for you?
I don't fucking know, man.
No, but like,
it's pretty.
Not, Not in a physical way, but like, how does that make you feel? So, anyway,
I just want, because that's like another part, like the whole crystals, all of it. It's another thing that like it's much more mainstream back in Poland that I've seen it here, especially Polish mountains. Like you see it a lot, and like, you know, people just like know which ones are like healing for what, but they treat it more. Like, casually. It's like, not like,
matter of fact.
Ooh, witchy. It's more of like...
Mine's so casual, right? Like, because it's all... Sorry, continue.
No, sorry. But, like, people, like, from the city, like, a random person would, like, if you say, like, start talking to them about crystals, they would, like, oh, that's some witchy shit. Like, more than, like, back in Poland, when it would be like,
that's some witchy
oh, yeah,
shit.
My grandma has crystals or whatever. Yeah, when I went to, like, Polish mountains, I brought myself bunch of those crystals for all those healing, but it's really just like casually rather than like, ooh, that's like especially for like you have to be like the, you know, like the occult and all of that. Like, I feel like the there is less of a barrier between like the sacred profane and such the witchy casual and casual life thing in Poland rather than
totally.
Like a
you go up the mountain and it's just like, oh yeah, whatever, it's matter of fact. It's like, yeah, is your knee sore? Like, take this and then also drink this beautiful water out of the spring and
you'll be fine.
And then like, yeah, it's good. See you later.
Totally.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. And also with you. A little bit of Catholic for you there. And I'm not even Catholic.
I know,
how do you like
but
that?
They changed it, apparently.
According to John Mulaney.
apparently they say, it's peace be with you and with your spirit. I'm like, no, no, no.
And also with you.
It's peace be with you and also with you.
That's how Catholicism works.
With your spirit at church. That's what you would say at church when the, you know, like the...
And with your spirit.
Yeah, that's how you end at the very end of the...
No, I really like all that stuff, and I like my little altar, and I like the fact that it shares a room with my two little rat familiars, if you prefer, who are also named after goddesses. I have Minerva and Freya, if you're curious. And they are the patron goddesses of our household, because we have a very witchy household. So, you know what? It's all bullshit, but it's real. So, suck my dick.
Yeah. This is the good shit that you get, like, shacking up with another lady. But, yeah, like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, our house has got a lot of witch power.
The reason that I was very attracted to my partner is because he was very into the occult. So you'll see in the studio...
He's the witchiest boy I've ever met.
We've taken down our tarot cards. So we had... When I was in a band with him and another person... We each had our tarot cards, and I was the Princess of Discs, and it was all the Aleister Crowley tarot, and he was the Prince of Discs, and that just worked for our thing. And then, yeah, our bass player was also, like, a horned god of some kind. And we all had our archetypes, and when we would play our music together, we would try to embody our archetypes in a little...
Oh, that's lovely.
And it was awesome.
My tarot card is a strength card, the 8. I want to tattoo Major Arcana.
Oh, okay.
The, you know, like the lion and the lady, all of that stuff.
Oh, I only know them by either names or like the number and the suit.
Mm-hmm. But like that's the minor arcana, like the ones. But like I'm talking about the major arcana. You know, like the fool to the world.
And so I only know those by name.
Strength.
Okay.
Interesting.
I love it because it talks about strength in less of like in obvious terms. It's more about like strength for vulnerability and like, you know, like the whole dynamic between the lion and like, you know, like the whatever like pretty little girl there, and just, you know, like it and also in the upside talk about like passion and lust and all of that, and just the balance of like the vulnerability and like the gentleness but also like the drive. I really like that play on that.
I love that a lot.
I love it.
Yeah. Those are the things I like the most.
What's your sign?
What's your sign, girl?
Capricorn.
Are you?
Hell yeah! What's your birthday?
12th of January.
Okay.
She's the 25th of December.
Yeah.
She's the Jesus baby.
Catholic. No, I'm a Vigilia. I'm a Vigilia
baby. Catholic Jesus.
No. It's... My mom was turned away from the hospital because she was in labor with me on the, like, Christmas Eve. And they said, go home. We know in Maple Ridge, where I grew up, we know that Christmas Eve is really important to your Polish husband. So you should go home. They were like, yeah, we know that. And she's like, but I'm in labor. And they're like, yes, yes, but you're fine. You should be at home with your husband because it's very important for him. Vigilia. I'm like, how do you know this at the hospital? But like, he had set that up and he like, he knew people. It was like Maple Ridge in the 80s was teeny tiny.
That teeny tiny.
So everyone knew. He's like the random Polish guy that collects cars in Maple Ridge. So it's like, it's very important to your husband that you be home right now.
Oh my God, I'm labored though.
And so my mom, like, basically was, like, laboring, like, at the table, drinking, like, her clear borscht and drink, like, eating her, like, wafer. And then when she went to the hospital with me at, like, 3 in the morning, she delivered me in half an hour, like, 15 minutes or something. She had, like, she had really gotten the work done at
home. She's good to go.
Yeah. But
good job, like, Joe.
So that's the Capricorn. My mom's a Capricorn,
too. Way to push this little ram out of you.
And so, like, I wanted to laugh because, like, you and I are Slytherin, and now I guess we're both Capricorn and both Polish, and I'm like, what is Capricorn and what is Slytherin and what is Polish and what is it? But there's good boundaries and there's, like, a good, like, appreciation of, like, lust and fire and also a pragmatism.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some good shit in there.
That's the shit I do
I'm
like.
I'm trying to get too introspective maybe for this podcast, but
it's our podcast. I dig it. So you get to decide.
I dig it. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on. You're welcome. This was really, really nice. And we were talking in between breaks about just, like, feelings that were coming up. And I don't want to, like, feel like I'm, like, draining you for Polish content.
Oh, no, no. I'm always, I'm, like, especially since I came here and, like, also, like, notice how much of the erasure. Anytime anyone else gonna, like, tell me, like, Marie Curie. No, it's Maria Skłodowska-Curie. She's a Polish bitch. I hate how much of, like, Polish erasure and, like, why Poland is named Poland? Because of Poland! Oh my God!
Yeah, Polonia is real.
So, the same with, like, Copernic, when it's, like, was he German or Spanish or whatever?
Copernicus. He's Latin,
no,
right?
Copernic! A Polish dude! There's so much
so
of that.
Like, so much. Oh my God. So
like,
many,
shop
like,
and all of that. It just, everyone is just, like, yeah, everyone... It's everything but Polish, but no, actually.
And
like,
so many great stories of resistance are from Poland.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take this dominant paradigm of the Catholic Church, and I'm going to look up to the stars. I'm fucking Polish, and I'm resisting you.
I'm going to throw fucking pierogi at the sky.
And it's like, I'm researching radiation. I'm going to develop a totally different... I'm resisting your dominant paradigm. I'm a fucking Polish woman. Like, come on.
Yeah, eat a dick. I threw a turnip at you.
It's like stories of resiliency and resistance.
Yep.
And I love that so much, and I love that's in my bones, and it makes me very happy. So thanks for letting me wank on that.
Just wank it off on the sea hags on a Friday fucking night, you guys.
Do you feel good? Is there anything else you want to talk about? We've been going for, like, a while, and I love it.
Oh, God. I mean, as I said, I can... Once I start talking, I could never shut up. So just tell me when, and I will stop. But till, like...
I feel like, you know,
guys,
I guess it's
a natural
time.
Conclusion.
We'll have you back again.
Awesome.
For another thing.
Maybe we'll eat pierogi.
Yes.
We could have, like, a little pierogi bee.
We could go, like, on a Sunday afternoon to, like, a pierogi time at the Ukrainian or Polish churches.
Apparently there's, like, a new something, in like, newest Mr., like, purely pierogi place that it's apparently by Polish people, like, Polish people do.
I think that's the Ukrainian restaurant Ukrainian? I was talking about. It's Ukrainian. But, you know, it's a pretty fine distinction between the two. So we could do it anyway. Yeah. It's really wonderful restaurant from everything I've heard is that, and they're very, very lovely to me every time I walk past. So we could have borscht and pierogi. We could like party at my place, go into the hot tub. We could do a sauna. We could do a sauna podcast.
Oh my good God.
It'd be so sweaty.
See it like in the hot tub, like eating pierogi. It's like basically like a pierogi in a hot tub.
Yeah.
Like us.
It's like a pierogi stew.
We're human pierogi.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're human
being
pierogis. Thanks everybody for listening.
I want to plug a thing real
quick.
Do it.
You're going to be on a thing.
If anyone's listened to this to the very end, my band Everybody Kiss is playing a show this coming Thursday, the 22nd of June, at the Princeton Pub.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one of two shows that we're ever going to get to play.
Because Adam's fucking off.
Our keyboard player is moving to Norway with his lovely partner.
Suck a dick and enjoy Tromso, motherfucker.
Whatever. He's an amazing talent, and we're so sad to...
Suck it, Adam!
...leave, but them's the breaks. And we've been hiding in the jam space for, like, a year and a half. We're finally ready to, like, play a show.
Hell yeah.
So if you're in Vancouver, come out to the Princeton Pub on Powell and Victoria on Thursday at 8:30.
I'm taking the next day off, so nobody else has any excuse.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to be there to party.
Do you have any shows coming up in the next week?
Fuck yeah, I do. It's June 25th. I'm hosting the Comedy at Big Rock anniversary show. We have Graham Clark headlining.
Hey, past guest Graham
featuring
Clark.
I don't think I'm going to get them all, but we've got Gavin Clarkson, Yumi Nagashima, Jenny Taves, Sophie Buttle, Alex Sparling, and there's one more that I'm not remembering, but I'm hosting. I'm very bad at it, so we'll see how it goes.
Disagree, and I can't wait.
Okay, great.
Do you have any projects or things coming? We didn't even get into, like, what you do and what your passions are.
We just had a fun time because it's Friday fucking night.
All we did was just talk about, like, reminiscing about past and feelings, but, like, you're a very passionate woman about lots of different things.
They're definitely, I mean, mostly focusing right now on my, like, 9-to-5 because, you know, like, it's a very, very intense project. Yes, so that's happening. But I also have my... together with Sharon, we're working on I'm developing my own tarot deck design, and Sharon will be writing the book for it. So that's happening sometime this year. Other than that, I have some projects for 2D animation that I want to do for my own, through this, like, base inspired by certain songs, especially like Friends and the Machine is very much like up my alley. So that's gonna be
Florence,
like,
and the Machine.
Yeah, that's like definitely gonna be happening sometime this year. Yes. But also, now that I'm like a permanent resident, I can also jump into the burlesque world finally. So that's gonna be happening for me as well.
The burlesque community has been very welcoming to me. Guys, what an amazing podcast! Thank you so much for being